Welcome to this latest edition, this very special Memorial Holiday Weekend edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I'm your host, The Real Gerald Quinn, taking you for the next half hour as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to my Instagram account at Real Gerald Quinn. iTunes.apple.com, Real Deal Podcast, as we discuss the world of sports on this 27th of May 2018, the day before Memorial Day Monday. Hope everybody out there is enjoying their holiday weekend. They're really the first official start of the summer, unofficial start of summer. We have a jam-packed weekend. There's already been NBA basketball. We're going to get two game sevens beginning tonight, of course, at the TD Bank Garden with the Boston Celtics hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. And of course, you will get Golden State Houston tomorrow night in back in Houston. We're going to begin with Boston Cleveland. Boston Cleveland, and both these series, if you really think about it, have come down to a war of attrition. I mean, you got guys banged up left and right. You're going to have no Kevin Love, no Andre Iguodala, more than likely no Chris Paul, even though that hasn't been ruled official yet, but more than likely Chris Paul will not play in game seven tomorrow night as when Houston takes on Golden State. So you got a number of guys that are banged up. These teams have been playing every other day for the last week. So it's really come down to a war of attrition. And you look at the Boston game on Friday. Even though Boston lost that game, the big piece that I took out of that, obviously, besides just the brilliance, again, of one LeBron James, who did everything, except sweep the floors in that particular game with the 46 points, 46 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists. Boston may have lost the game, but it's one of those losing the battle maybe allows you to win the war type deals for the Boston Celtics, because in that game they forced LeBron to play 46 minutes. They forced him to be heroic in that fourth quarter. They forced him to expend so much energy in that particular game. You saw last night what happens when a lot of these games, when a team has a game seven at their disposal in their back pocket. Houston comes out, like a house on fire, not able to sustain that level of play, that intensity, that, all, everything that they had to do, that they did in the first quarter in terms of shooting the ball. Golden State wears them down, and next thing you're looking at, 115-86. Boston, on the other hand, forced Cleveland to play four quarters. Now, of course, you want to wrap the series up if you're Boston up 3-2. You don't want to have to, put a game seven, even though it's in your home gym, against LeBron James. You don't want to risk that, tempt that fate. But if you're not going to win the game, the next best thing to do, and which they did, is to make LeBron expend as much energy as possible. Make those guys play, he played 46 minutes. And again, look at the injuries in this. Look at the injuries between these four teams. This has become, like I said, a war of attrition with these games. These games have been physical. These games have been, you see coaches, whether it's D'Antoni or Brad Stevens going now specifically to seven-man rotations. Brad Stevens has not played, ever since games five, six, four, five, and six, he's played no more than seven men. And D'Antoni's been playing seven guys the entire series. Now, last game, last night, he played 9-10 in a blowout. And you saw Ryan Anderson, you saw Joe Johnson in garbage time late in the fourth quarter. So I give Boston a lot of credit from that standpoint in that game six. It was not talked about enough in terms of making Cleveland play the four quarters. And I think that could be the difference in tonight's game seven. Now again, Cleveland is going to have Kevin Love out of the game. That is, you know, that is not as big a loss as you may think it is, considering that Kevin Love, you know, struggles defensively. But again, it's taking another shot maker off the floor. The floor shrinks a little bit for LeBron James's, you know, driving lanes. One less three point shooter you have to worry about. If I'm Boston, I'm not. Listen, if Jeff Green beats me with 3-point shots, I'll just, you know, tip my hat and call it a summer, call it a season. So you're not concerned about Jeff Green making 3-point shots. I'm not concerned about Larry Nance stretching the floor. But for one game, Cleveland defensively should be a better team, will be better without Kevin Love versus with Kevin Love. But of course, what they will not be able to make up for the 15, you know, he's averaging about 15 or 11, those types of numbers. They will not be able to make up somewhat not so much for the numbers, but for his ability to stretch the floor and open driving lanes for LeBron. So to me, if Cleveland's going to have to get something out of two other guys, out of a combination of two other guys, you know LeBron's going to have anywhere from 35 to 40 points. The question is, I figure that they're probably going to need anywhere from 95 to 100 to win. Where are you getting the other 50 to 55 points from? Rodney Hood, forget about it. Calderon hasn't played in the series. You're talking about, again, the combination, you know, talking about like a Kyle Korver. You're talking about J.R. Smith, possibly. We've seen J.R. Smith in game sevens before make some big 3-point shots. He's been awful in this series. George Hill has been up and down, though. You know, he's played two out of the last three games. He's been solid, I would say. So you're going to need a combination of two other guys for Cleveland to come out on top. Remember, LeBron James, we saw LeBron James have a 42-point triple-double game in Boston, and they still lost by 13. I don't think the Boston young players are gonna flinch under the pressure or melt under the pressure of a game seven. There'll be some tense moments, but I just don't think that this team's gonna. I just don't think their mindset is like that. I just don't think they're cut from that cloth to fold up all of a sudden at home in a game seven. They were on the road in Cleveland. Yes, at home I don't see them folding up. So this is a game that Cleveland is going to have to win, rather than counting on Boston to melt under depression, because I don't see it happening from that standpoint in terms of their younger players. Boston needs to get something out of Al Horford. Al Horford has been the guy who, if he plays well, Boston normally wins. If he doesn't play well, then Boston looks bad. But Horford did not play well in game six, as we all know, was basically a non-factor in game six as you had the likes of Rozier, Jaylen Brown, you know, were leading Boston. They have to get something out of Al Horford in this spot. You have to get a 15, 10, 4, 5 assist game, a couple of blocks. His, you know, defensively, him being all over the place if Boston's going to come out on top in this game seven. Vegas has Boston favored by two, which is basically a pick 'em at home money in a game seven. And Golden State a heavy favorite on the road at 5.5, which is a big favorite considering that they are on the road. So again, to me, this NBA season has come down with these two games to a war of attrition between these four teams, a bunch of injuries, no Kevin Love, no Andre Iguodala, probably no Chris Paul. We'll see what happens. When we come back, we'll talk more about Houston Golden State. That's coming up on much, much more in this next edition of the Real Deal Podcast. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 on this next edition of the Real Deal Podcast. We are, of course, also broadcasting live on YouTube. So this podcast will be available anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes after the program has concluded, which should be roughly around 4:30 or so when the podcast is concluded. As always, you can find our replays also on Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com/surrealquinn. So I'll put those online, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter as well, once the program has concluded. Getting back to the Houston Golden State series, Game 7 tonight, Boston, Cleveland, LeBron's 5-2 in Game 7. As we know, the numbers have been off the charts in his game in Game 7, 34.5, about 35 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists, shooting about 49%. A couple of those performances have come on the road at Golden State, at Boston in a loss in 2008, against Boston in a win in 2012, San Antonio 2013, 37-12. So he's had some monster game sevens, but he's going to need some help on against this Boston team that's fought tooth and nail throughout the course of the series, throughout the course of these playoffs, has been as resilient as a team could be. He's going to need some help in this game. Like he will not single-handedly be able to beat these Boston Celtics. I thought in Game 6, again, nobody wants to talk about the George Hill performance. Those 20 points were big. And George, it wasn't just George Hill. You talk about Jeff Green, who you never know. You know, Jeff Green is one of the most strangest players in NBA history, as far as I'm concerned, as far as you just don't know from game to game, quarter to quarter, what you're going to get out of Jeff Green. Jeff Green, one minute, can look like an all-star. The next minute, can look like a guy who doesn't even belong, looks like he doesn't even belong in the league. So they're going to need a solid game out of Jeff Green, make a couple three-pointers, do some stuff in terms of his playmaking. He does have the ability to put the ball on the floor and create offense for others. He does have – Jeff Green has, again, one of the most perplexing players in the league. He has talent. Guy, he can play. But he just floats in and out of games way too much. That's why he's been on a number of teams over the course of his career. So they're going to need something out of him. I can't expect anything out of Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr., those guys. I really can't expect anything out of those guys. You're talking about Cleveland's going to win this. They're going to win this with their veteran players. Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver. Those guys are going to have to come out and give you something. I cannot count on these new players. Hood probably won't even play. So I'm talking about Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr. I cannot count on those guys to do anything in a game seven, particularly on the road against this Boston team. As far as Houston Golden State, what happened last night I totally expected Golden State to just run through Houston. I didn't expect it to be that hard in the first, considering that they had to come back from a 17-point deficit. I did not expect that. And as you know, I'm checking the game as I watched the game this morning, was able to check it on my phone last night. I couldn't believe that, you know, saw 39-22. I thought something was wrong with my cell phone when I was checking the score, not watching the game live, and then watching the game, I DVR'd it, watched it this morning. You know, I thought that what would happen last night would happen as far as Golden State blitzing Houston for the most part. The worst thing about that game from a Houston standpoint is, number one, the fact that you were up 17 points. But the second part is the fact that you still, even in a blowout, your main guys, Harden, Ariza, those guys still had to go hard in that game. Like you still, they were not able to get a sustainable amount of rest, considering that was a 115-86, trouncing at the hands of Golden State. So as far as I'm concerned, Houston lost twice in that game, not resting their main players, and also with the fact that they blew a 17 point lead in the first quarter, a 10-point lead at the half. We're gonna look back on this and with the Chris Paul injury, because I really thought Houston had Golden State on the ropes in the series. They were a tougher team mentally, physically. They were knocking Golden State around, beating them up. The formula was out there in terms of, and I've said this year in and year out, if you want to compete, if you want to beat Golden State, have any chance against Golden State, it comes down to a game of physicality. You have to defend like your shorts are on fire, okay, against Golden State. You have to get it. And Houston was doing that. Houston was winning this series with their defense up until game six. They won games 4 and 5 with their defense. And we're going to look back at the Chris Paul injury, and it's going to be one of those things that we look back at as a point in NBA history as something that could have been what could have been. in the history of the NBA. I really do, because I feel like a healthy Chris Paul doesn't get injured. I think Houston probably wins the series. Now, I'm not going to say it with confidence, but there's part of me that believes that Houston, and this is due to Mike D'Antoni only playing seven players, part of me does believe that Houston is wearing down as the series moves along. And that when we look back on it, one of the coaching flaws and one of the coaching things that we're going to look back on is the fact that Mike D'Antoni only played seven guys, and that just was not enough against a Golden State onslaught, against a team, especially against a seven-game series, especially if the games are going to be as physical as they are. These have been physical games. Like, if you're going to play that style, and which, again, a style that I think is absolutely necessary to deal with Golden State. They don't like physicality at all. They never have. Whether it's against Memphis, whether it was against Cleveland in 2016, they don't, or even Oklahoma City with the offensive rebounding, Steven Adams, Ibaka, those, the length, how Russell Westbrook can come at you physically. They don't like Golden State. Golden State is a bully team. And there's a reason why Golden State was struggling in these close games, because they are used to blowing people out. They're not used to executing down the stretch in a fourth quarter. They are used to that. Golden State wants to destroy you and just take your will. They don't want to play a execution, tit for tat, fourth quarter, 48-minute type game. That's not how they've been built. They have been built to overwhelm you with their talent, especially after making them, after the Kevin Durant signing in 2016. So if I'm Houston, if you're Houston, you're going to look back at this Chris Paul injury as being something that, if he's probably healthy, Houston goes on and possibly wins the championship, or maybe even Cleveland could win a championship against a banged up Houston team with Chris Paul not knowing how that hamstring is going to be. Now Golden State is going to win their second straight championship, their third in 4 years. I just can't see Golden State losing game seven without Chris Paul, or even with Chris Paul at 40-50%. And where does that leave Houston in the future? Where does that leave Chris Paul in terms of wanting to get his money in the future? I mean, this is an injury that is really going to set a lot of things in motion as far as these two franchises. There was talk about if Golden State were to lose this series, that's a possibility of this core being broken up. But maybe them trading either Klay Thompson or Draymond Green. More than likely Klay Thompson, because he has more value. But again, hard press to see how Houston is going to win that game without Chris Paul. Chris Paul had by far been their best player in this series. His leadership, his toughness. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. We'll be right back. 19 minutes after the 4 o'clock hour, on this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. Nationals up 5-2, bottom of the ninth inning against Miami as they look to take that series. Nats playing relatively well. A very strange just to step away from the basketball for a second, a very strange baseball season, to say the least, when you look at these standings. You have three divisions where four teams have winning records. Now, I think everybody thought Boston, the Yankees, Houston would all be good, and they all have been. I don't think there's a surprise. That's not surprising to anyone. But Seattle, Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, some of these teams, as the Nats take the third game against Miami 5-2. So Nats going to take that game 5-2 as they just completed it. But you have three divisions where you have four more teams with winning records. The biggest lead right now in baseball is held by the Milwaukee Brewers. Go figure that. Not the Cleveland Indians, not the Houston Astros, not the New York Yankees or Boston. Of course, we're in the same division. The Milwaukee Brewers. So it has been a very strange baseball season. You know, the NL East, you have four teams with a winning record. The NL Central, you have four teams with a winning record. And the last one, I think, is the AL West, where you have Seattle, where you have Houston, Seattle, Anaheim, and what's the last team? I want to say, I don't think this is not Texas. It is Oakland. Yeah, Oakland. So, again, I don't know if it's a sign of parity in baseball, because I think we all feel that the Yankees, Houston, and Boston are clearly, and Cleveland, once they get this stuff together, are clearly the four best teams in the American League, and probably four to five best in all of baseball. I mean, the power right now, the power is in the American League. I don't know if there's a National League team that's, I don't, outside of the Nationals, I don't know if there's a National League team that's even capable of winning a championship outside of the Nationals. I mean, the Dodgers are in the tank right now. I don't, you know, do you trust Milwaukee? Do you trust Pittsburgh? Atlanta, Philadelphia improved, but really not ready to win yet. So all the power is in the American League. That Yankee Red Sox race is going to be a tremendous race moving down the stretch in the summertime. But again, a lot of, you know, I don't think, I mean, a lot of good, a lot of solid teams, not that many bad teams in baseball, which is always a good thing. There are going to be a lot of races, not just wild card. It seems like all the divisional races are going to be right there, even heading into, as we head into June, as we pass the first real quarter pole of the baseball season. 347-215-6186. Now I've said this number about 10,000 times. 347-215-6180. I should be memorizing that number after 10 years of doing this podcast. Here's your call number on this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. Of course, Game 7 tonight, Boston, Cleveland. LeBron looking to add another chapter to what has been of course, a legendary historic career. Again, he could go out there and play great, and they could still lose. I think, you know, the one thing about this series that has kind of surprised me is how well Boston has played over the course of this season, of the playoffs, and of this even in this series. I did not expect them to win Game 5. I really didn't. Not expecting to win Game 5. I thought Cleveland, after tying the series, would go out there and steal Game 5 and wrap it up in Game 6. Boston, up until this point, has really, in some ways, outplayed Cleveland. Has outplayed Cleveland. Boston has been, was more competitive against Cleveland and Cleveland than Cleveland has been in Boston. But again, Game 7 is always a different animal. It's a different type of pressure. There's playoff pressure, then there's Game 7 pressure. Outside of Al Horford, not many of the Boston players, whether it's Tatum, Jaylen Brown, have been in a Game 7. Terry Rozier, guys like that have been in a Game 7. So even Marcus Smart, I don't think Marcus Smart have been in a Game 7 of this magnitude. I know they had the Game 7 against Milwaukee. That was in the first round against Milwaukee. But in terms of taking it, in terms of being 48 minutes away from a NBA Finals appearance, which, again, if the Boston Celtics get to the NBA Finals, it's going to be one of the great coaching jobs in the history of the NBA to get to the NBA Finals without your best player in Kyrie Irving and your second or probably your third best player and the All-Star player in Gordon Hayward. I mean, that is, again, no one remotely expected Boston to be in this position to where they're one game away from an NBA Finals appearance. And frankly, and I've said this, I'll continue to say this. I'd much rather see Boston against Golden State than Cleveland. With all due respect to Houston, that's because I believe Golden State's going to take Houston out in Game 7 tomorrow. But I'd much rather see Boston versus Golden State than Cleveland. I don't want to see Golden State Cleveland again. I just flat out don't want to see Golden State and Cleveland in the finals again. to be honest with you. Cleveland, Houston, it'd be competitive. I actually think Cleveland will have a shot. If Houston finds a way to get past Golden State, I actually think, you know, with Chris Paul, his hamstring, that might be Cleveland's, you know, that might be LeBron's, you know, one of his last shots to get another championship. Golden State going down to Houston in the finals, and Golden State going down to Houston in the West tomorrow. But first things first, Golden State, Boston, Cleveland's going to have his hands full with a Boston team that's played beyond their years, a Boston team that we know how well coached they are, a Boston team that has been undefeated at home, a franchise that has never lost a playoff series down when they've been up 2 games to nothing. Not ever. They've been up, I think they've been up 37 times, up 2 games to nothing, and have won every one of those series. But again, they are facing a guy who is a living legend right now, a guy who just has, I've never seen an athlete, let alone basketball player, with this amount of energy and endurance late, this late in their careers, in terms of LeBron James. Again, but I would be concerned about his energy second half of this game. Watch for LeBron James in the third and fourth quarter. It's gonna be very interesting to see how Ty Lue utilizes it, rest him, how he gets him. You know, is he gonna get him in between quarters? You know, is he gonna, like, you know, obviously the score is gonna dictate how much LeBron rests. I think it's very important for Cleveland to get off to a fast start. We've seen in home games, especially in game sevens, that, you know, the home team could get down 8 to 10 points, can come back. But if you're a road team, you get down double digits, those games turn into blowouts in the game seven. We've seen them they turn into avalanche games. It becomes like an avalanche. So I think it's very important for Cleveland to get off to a quick start, kind of negate the crowd a little bit, allow Ty Lue to rest LeBron. At least, you know, I would want LeBron to play, if I'm Cleveland, 38 to 43 minutes. I think once you start getting into that 44, 45, 46-minute range, I think that's I think that is the danger zone for LeBron James, over 44, over 45 minutes. I wouldn't, now again, if you have to play him 47, 48 minutes, then you got to do what you got to do. But I would definitely be watching for LeBron's endurance second half of this game. I think Boston did a tremendous job, like I mentioned earlier in the program, with holding LeBron to with forcing LeBron to play 48 minutes, to play 46 minutes, and not getting blown out to where he could have been rested in the fourth quarter. I like the Celtics in a close game. I think this will be a highly competitive game. I'm just not trusting of those other guys outside of LeBron. I think Tristan Thompson will play a nice game, but those other guys, Jeff Green, Clarkson, Nance Jr., I don't trust those guys in a game seven. I just don't. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I will see you next time. Later.